WSHU will celebrate America 250 with a weekly series focusing on the American experience in music. You'll hear music, musicians, and musical institutions that have contributed to the rich, vibrant musical life in the U.S. throughout its history. Listen for The American Experience every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on WSHU.
A New York State bill that advocates say would give consumers more transparency about what's in their food is on its way to Governor Hochul's desk. The Food Safety and Chemical Disclosure Act would ban three food additives that have been linked to health problems in Europe. It would also require more transparency from the makers of packaged foods. State Senator Brian Kavanaugh says the bill fell short last year.
I just think it took some time to overcome that and make sure legislators understood that this really is nothing more and nothing less than requiring the food companies that want to sell food to New Yorkers disclose what's in the food.
Opponents are urging the governor to veto the legislation, saying it would drive up costs, reduce choice, and create confusion for consumers. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A bill banning cell phones in Connecticut schools moves forward. The New York State budget gets delayed again. There are plans to turn the old Remington site in Bridgeport into a nature preserve. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's Long Story Short. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Connecticut legislators moved forward a bill that would implement a bell-to-bell cell phone ban in schools across the state. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
The State House of Representatives voted in favor of a bill that prohibits students from using cell phones on school grounds during the school day. It's an amended version of a bill introduced by Governor Ned Lamont. State Representative Jennifer Lieber is on the Education Committee. Lieber says she's heard from both teachers and students who are in support of a bell-to-bell ban.
There is no data that shows it is good, and actually lots of data that shows that it's harmful for our kids to be filling all of those passing periods, study halls, lunch breaks, free time with their phones instead of connecting with one another.
The bill is headed to the state Senate, where it would need to pass, then be signed by the governor in order to become law. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
New York State lawmakers passed another budget extender yesterday, the seventh one since the April 1st deadline. Governor Hochul and legislative leaders are still trying to reach an agreement on policy issues before setting dollar amounts in the budget. Assembly Ways and Means Committee Chairman Gary Pretlow says they're making progress during an exchange with his Republican counterpart, Phil Pomisano.
But I can assure you that we're getting closer on actually all the issues that are in question. Oh.
So you feel we're getting closer on auto insurance?
I believe we're closer on auto insurance. We're closer on immigration. We're closer on CLCPA.
CLCPA refers to modifying the state's aggressive climate law mandates for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So far, the legislature has approved more than $12 billion in funding this month. The latest extender runs through Thursday. And over in Connecticut, Governor Lamont and Democratic state legislative leaders have reached a tentative budget agreement for lawmakers to vote on before the end of the session next week. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lamont's proposal for a cash rebate to offset rising energy costs did not make the final deal. He says that's because electricity bills have been lowered by getting rid of some of the public benefit charges.
We're able to save people about $400 a year on their energy bills by reducing, almost eliminating the public benefits charge. So probably we'll do less likely to do rebates, more likely to do more in education.
Speaker Matt Ritter believes cities and towns will be happy with the deal because it directs an additional $170 million to public education.
We all had to give a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, you're going to see a nice budget announcement with hopefully mostly smiles, I think.
House Republican Minority Leader Vincent Candelara criticizes the deal for spending $1 billion on public employee wage increases.
You can't put $1 billion into workers at the same time your cities and towns, who are made up of 3.5 million people, are only getting $170 million for education. So that is what I struggle with.
Legislative leaders expect the finalized package will be ready for a vote by the end of the week. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Coming up, how a Hartford-based nonprofit is suffering from a political scandal. Stay here, that's ahead. Animal rights activists are renewing calls to move the last elephant at Connecticut's Commerford Zoo to a wildlife sanctuary. They say she needs more natural environment and other elephants. The zoo says the elephant is getting good care. Past legal efforts to relocate her were dismissed in court. A new petition has gathered about 1,800 signatures. A New York developer wants to convert the former Plainville High School into apartments. The developer says the project may preserve the historic building and add new housing. Town officials say they're renewing the idea as part of efforts to expand the housing supply. The LIRR will launch its summer schedule May 18th. The plan adds weekday trains to Montauk and increases service on several lines. Officials say the changes target peak summer demand. The update also adjusts service on the Long Beach and Ronkonkoma branches. The agency expects higher ridership during the summer season. The owners of the former site of gunmaker Remington Arms plan to turn the property into an energy park and nature preserve. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
The owners of the site, which straddles Bridgeport and Stratford, are joining an energy partnership to develop renewable energy in the form of solar and battery power. The Lake Success Energy Park is expected to generate money to pay for the public park. Lake Success and the surrounding forest would be open for hiking and enjoying nature. According to Hearst Connecticut Media, it will be one of the largest urban woodland preserves in New England. The owners of the former ammunition dump are cleaning up the site per state and federal environmental officials. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Federal probe into a Connecticut state senator's involvement in a nonprofit is ongoing. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Andrew Brown. He's done in-depth reporting on Senator Doug McCrory and the nonprofit Blue Hills. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Hartford Democratic State Senator Doug McCrory is in the middle of a federal probe right now. So how did you get a hold of so much of the internal records from the Blue Hills Civic Association?
We requested records that were turned over to state auditors earlier this year as part of an ongoing audit of Blue Hills and more than $15 million that the nonprofit in Hartford received in recent years. So we essentially came into possession of Blue Hills internal records because they were collected by state auditors and then turned over to the FBI, thus giving us access through the state's Freedom of Information Act to be able to view these internal records and really tell the inside story of what happened to Blue Hills.
So looking through these records, what does it say?
I think as we described in the story, the most succinct way to explain what we found was that Blue Hills over several years, mostly between 2023 and 2025, was transformed from a community nonprofit, which it had operated as for more than 60 years. And it was transformed into essentially a political arm of State Senator Doug McCrory. McCrory, a Democrat who has represented Hartford, the north end of Hartford for two decades, essentially used Blue Hills as their executive director said herself as a conduit to send money to other organizations in the community. And what we found was that several of those organizations had were run by people who had previous political or professional ties to the state senator.
Now, the collapse of Blue Hills came as a surprise to most of the employees. Could you just tell us a little bit about what you heard from the employees that you were able to talk to? Well, they're now former employees that you were able to talk to.
Yeah, when the employees were laid off last April, so April of 2025, many of them had no idea what was happening or, you know, why a 60-year-old nonprofit had collapsed. But they were told essentially in a late-night email without any warning that they were all laid off. There was no reason for them to return to the office. The immediate cause of that was that the state of Connecticut had frozen all of the nonprofit's money after they realized that $300,000 had been stolen through a fraudulent wire transfer from the nonprofit. But as we explained in the story, you know, over the past year, it's become clear that there was much more going on behind the scenes at Blue Hills. Many of the former employees we spoke to over in recent months said that they had no understanding or knowledge of Senator McCrory's role at the nonprofit outside of him being a normal state lawmaker advocating for their organization at the state legislature. But there were some people who kind of were more frequently in Blue Hills's office in the north end of Hartford who said that there were some signs in recent years that essentially, as one person put it, Doug McCrory had become the de facto executive director of Blue Hills. That prompted all kinds of questions, as we point out in the story, from the nonprofit's own attorneys, its annual auditors, and as we explained in the story, it eventually drew the attention of the FBI, who more than 2 years ago began asking people about McCrory and essentially how money flowed through the nonprofits in Hartford's North End.
So what is the state doing to try and deal with that situation? Because this is something that the Lamont administration has had to deal with. And is there any sign that state money going out to nonprofit organizations is being monitored more closely by officials?
The Lamont administration certainly wants to change how some of this money flowed in the past. So the most immediate reaction was that the governor proposed changes to what is known as the earmarking process, which is essentially a way for individual lawmakers to insert grants into the state budget for specific organizations. You know, there's no competition there. They just essentially decide which groups get money. And the Lamont administration wants more transparency surrounding that. Just the other week, actually, earlier in April, the House passed a bill that would implement several changes, including making the earmarking process more transparent and giving state agencies the ability to provide more oversight of these earmarked funds, which McCrory helped to direct to Blue Hills. That legislation has not been taken up by the Senate, however, where McCrory is still an active member. So nothing officially has been done yet. The Lamont administration has said even without that legislation, they will be essentially staffing up, particularly in the Department of Economic and Community Development, to monitor these earmarks. But the governor wants a law passed that is on the books that makes it essentially a statute for how these earmarked funds should be handled. We will see as we near the end of the session here whether the Senate actually takes that up and passes it.
Well, in the meantime, McCrory's still sitting in the Senate. And even though he's under a federal probe, there's no case that has been brought yet.
That's correct. We know that he is under federal investigation based on subpoenas that the state received last year. So he was obviously the target of those subpoenas based on the information that the FBI and a grand jury was requesting from the state. But you're exactly right. To this point, he has not been accused of anything, and no indictments have been filed in court that have charged him with any crime.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Andrew. Fascinating look into how state money has been going out in Hartford over the past few years.
Thank you.
Andrew Brown is the Connecticut Mirror's investigative reporter. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more from Andrew about how records from the Blue Hills Civic Association and interviews with seven former employees and contractors reveal the events that preceded the collapse of the Hartford nonprofit. Available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. And for instant access to your favorite programs and podcasts, download the free WSHU app today on the App Store or Google Play. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.